This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom aleichem, ruchem abam. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Maseches Kesubos, Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We're going to start six lines from the bottom. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. If you remember in the Mishnah, there was a machlokes regarding the Tosefes Ksuba. When do you pay Tosefes Ksuba? The Tanna Kamma says if a woman is widowed or divorced, either from Erisin or Nesuin, she collects not only the Ksuba, but the Tosefes Ksuba as well. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, from Erisin, you only collect the Ksuba proper, but not the Tosefes Ksuba. Okay? Presumably, the reason of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the only reason a guy is giving his wife extra Ksuba is because he loves her. But he's only giving it to her if he consummates the marriage. He had no intention of giving her extra money if the marriage never comes to fruition. Yeah? So that means, if according to that position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that we say, look, the guy never intended to give the woman extra Ksuba if the marriage never reaches the stage of Nesuin, then that means Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah subscribes to the following point of view. We follow presumption. We never asked the guy, why are you giving her extra money? We never conducted a full-fledged interview with the guy. Hey, pal, why are you giving the lady extra money? Oh, you know why? Because I really like her, and I'm only giving it to her if this comes to Nesuin. We never had that conversation. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we presume. So that means Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah subscribes that when it comes to monetary law, we follow presumption. So says the Gemara, Idmar Rav v'Rav Nasan, Chan Amar Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'Chan Amar in Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Machlok is Rav and Rav Nasan. One says the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and one says the Halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Says the Gemara, Tistayim de Rav Nasan hu de Amar, Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Let's bring a conclusive proof that Rav Nasan is of the opinion that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, because we know that Rav Nasan holds that we follow presumption. And since Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the reason why he says that a woman from Erisin doesn't get the Tosefes Ksuba is because of presumption, then Rav Nasan, who generally subscribes to presumption, probably is the one who holds like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Right? Tistayim, let's bring a proof. Rav Nasan, who the Amar Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nasan is the one who says Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Shamina and Leila Rav Nasan, we know that Rav Nasan holds the Azal Basar Umdana. He follows presumption. The Amar Rav Nasan, because Rav Nasan said, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, b'mesukan, by somebody whose life is in danger. What's the case? Rashi says in Masechta Gittin, the Mishnah talks about someone who is going overseas, and he says, write a get to my wife, but he didn't tell the Edom give it the get to his wife. They could not only write it but give it as well, because clearly he was in such haste that he forgot to say and give it. Okay? So it's interesting. Normally, Edom can only give a get if the guy says write it and give it. If he just says write it, they write it, they don't give it. But if a guy is about to travel overseas and in haste he says to Edom, write the get, if he didn't say give it, we assume he meant give it. Rav Shimon Shazuri extrapolates based on that. Then what about if a guy is deathly ill and he says to Edom, write a get? Even if he doesn't say give it, there too we extrapolate and we say they could give it because he's afraid he's going to die, so they could assume they could also give it. Okay. So that means Rav Nasan holds like Rav Shimon Shazuri that we follow presumption. We presume that even though the guy didn't say to give the get, that he meant to give the get. Another time that Rav Nasan said halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri is by Trumas Maser Shel Demai, the Truma Maser of Demai. The halacha is that if somebody has produce, he has to separate Truma. Yeah? goes to the Kayin, 50th. Then he separates Meiser, 10% goes to Levi. The thing is that if you buy produce from an Amah Aretz, then the halacha is that you can't trust that they took off Chuma Meiser. So you got to do it yourself. It's Demai. It's the produce is Safik. So you got to take off the separations yourself. You take off the Chuma. You take off the Meiser. And the thing is that after Meiser is taken off and given to Levi, the Levi then has to separate Truma from the Meiser the Levi gets. Now, when you have produce from an Am Aretz and you're taking off the Truma and you're taking off the Meiser, so what would be if the Meiser you took off then got mixed up back again into the produce? Now you're up the creek without a paddle, because Meiser is not forbidden to eat. Truma is forbidden to eat. So if the Meiser fell back in the Meiser is the obligation to give Trumas Meiser, you're in big trouble if you bought produce from an Am Aretz. Now in that case, we say, you know what you could do? You could ask the Am Aretz, hey, Am Aretz, did you take off Meiser? If you did, then you could trust him. Now normally you're not allowed to trust an Am Aretz, at least Midrabanan. Midaraisa, you could trust an Am Aretz if the Am Aretz says that I took off Truma Meiser. The Rabbanan say you can't trust him. But in a situation where it fell, the Meiser fell back into the produce, we say you could trust the Am Aretz. Otherwise, it's gonna be a very substantial, significant loss. So in order to avoid that loss under these circumstances where the Meiser fell back in, we say we'll allow you to ask the Am Aretz, and you could trust whatever he says. So, in these two cases, Rav Nosson said, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Number one, that if a guy who's dying says, write a get to my wife, then the Edom are allowed to give it, because we follow presumption. And this leniency, legabe meiser, that fell back in to the produce of an Am Aretz, that you're allowed to trust the Am Aretz. So basically, the Gemara says, we're proving that Rav Nosson is the one who holds halacha like Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Why? Because we know Rav Nosson follows presumption. So we'll assume he's the one who follows Rav Elazar ben Azaria in the Mishnah, that we follow presumption, that a guy only meant to give Tosefes to a woman who he would consummate the marriage with. Says the Gemara, V'Rav lo yazal basar umdina. Rav doesn't follow presumption. V'idmar, but we learned, matna shchiv meira, a gift of a shchiv meira, shekasav ba'kinyan, that a kinyan was written in the shtar. Now here's something you need to know. What you need to know is, a guy who's on his deathbed, normally if you want to give someone a gift, let's say I say, you know, Alan, I want to give you a gift. I'm going to give you my most valuable possession, a pack of batteries. So the halacha is, it's not a gift unless you make a kinyan. I could say I want to give it to you, and that doesn't mean I don't want to, but it's not effective until we make a transaction. But Reb Lewis, if let's say I say to you, I'm giving you one battery, and we make a kinyan, obviously, it's effective, yeah? But somebody's on his deathbed. The rabbis say, whatever he says, it's like it's transferred, even though no kinyan was made. But a guy's a shchiv meira, he's on his deathbed, then just saying he's going to do something, it has the force of a kinyan. Fine. So the oral declaration of a guy on his deathbed is effective like a kinyan. Let's say a guy is on his deathbed and he actually has a kinyan written in a shtar, meaning he does a kinyan and it's recorded in a shtar. So why did he do that? He didn't need to make the kinyan. So that's the situation over here. We learned, a gift of a guy in his deathbed. Shekasaba kinyan. A transaction was written in the shtar. As we mentioned, he doesn't need to have a transaction. The Beirav Mishmei de Rav Amri, in the house of Rav, in the name of Rav, they said, Arkavei Atrei Rikshi. He's trying to ride on two horses. He's trying to make this effective in two ways. He wants it to be effective as a healthy guy's gift and as a guy who's dying's gift. Shmuel said, "Lo yada mai edem ba." Shmuel said, "I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I don't know what to do with this guy. He messed himself up because he can't give it as a sick bed gift because he said he's making a kinyan, but the kinyan is not going to do anything because he's a guy on a sick bed. So we're going to see it's sort of self-contradictory. Let's look now. The Gemara explains the Rav Mishnah, the Rav Amri, in the Academy of Rav Name Rav. They said, "Arkavei Atrei Ruchshi." He's riding on two horses. Harehi Kamat Nesbari. It's going to have the strength of a healthy man's gift. Harehi Kamat Neshchumera. It's going to have the strength of a sick man's gift. Harehi Kamat Nesbari. It's going to have the strength of a healthy guy's gift. Namely, De'im Amad Eno Yachalach Sarbay. It's going to have the strength of a healthy guy's gift that if he got better, he can't retract. Here's the thing about a healthy guy's gift. If I go, to Mike and I give him a pack of batteries. I give him the whole box. Whole box, you know how valuable this is? You know how many daf of ksubis you could get out of these batteries? I give it to him. So let's say I say, you know, Mike, I say a day later, you know, I'm just joking. I didn't really want to give it to you. I love you, but you know, I don't want you. I actually want my batteries. Can I retract? Can I retract? Healthy guy can't reach. I gave a gift. A gift is a gift. Imagine if you give your kids a Hanukkah present, and the day after you say, "Actually, I'm taking back the Lego. I'm not paying $100 for a police station." I mean, what happened? When I was a kid, it was $27. No way. You know, you want a video game for $200? No, 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 no. So imagine if, like, after the Afikoman, you could retract. No, there are no backsies. When it comes to gifts of a healthy guy, there are no backsies. So maybe he made a kinyan that it should have the strength of a healthy guy's gift, namely that what? That he can't retract. And he also wanted it to be the gift of a sick guy, harehi kamana shchimera, that what? You see, the gift of a sick man is that you could transfer a loan to somebody. Normally, let's say you wrote the loan that I loaned Plony, the loan I lent Reuven $100. Let's say like this. Let's say a healthy guy says, you know, Alan, the mayor of New York City owes me $1,000. I transfer it to you. And we make a kinyan. Now, look, it's not transferred. You can't make a kinyan on a loan. I can't transfer a loan to you through a formal acquisition. So a healthy guy can't transfer a loan. A sick guy could transfer a loan. So maybe Rav says like this. He made a kinyan so it should be a healthy guy's gift so that he should be able to retract. And he wants to take advantage of him being a sick guy to be able to transfer loans. That's how Rav looks at the situation. Rav reads the situation that even though he's a sick guy, and a sick guy doesn't have to make acquisition, he made the acquisition to be bolstered by the advantages of a healthy guy's gift, and he also wants to take advantage of a sick guy's gift. So as a sick guy, he wants to be able to transfer loans. As a healthy guy, he's basically removing himself from the possibility of reneging on the gift. That's how Rav looks at the scenario. Meaning Rav holds, we follow presumption. We presume this is what the guy's doing. Again, we didn't interview the guy. We didn't, you know, we didn't send in a journalist and have Inspiration for the Nation come along and, you know, interview this guy. What's he thinking? We presume this is what the guy's thinking. So clearly, Rav Nassan's not the only guy who follows presumption. Rav also follows presumption. Shmuel, on the other hand, so I don't know. We don't know what in the world was wrong with this guy. Shmuel Amar lo yadana me'edavah. Shmuel said, we don't know what to do with the guy. Shema lo yigamar lehaknoisai. Maybe this guy decided, you know what? I don't want to use the mechanism of a sick guy. Now, the mechanism of a sick guy is you don't have to make a kinyan. He decided he wants to be like a healthy guy. And he only wanted the kinyan to work with a shtar. The problem is that if he wants the kinyan to work in a shtar, a kinyan can't work after the guy died. So the guy messed himself up. By writing a kinyan in the shtar, he may be indicating he doesn't want to use the mechanism of shchiv meira sikai. He wants to use the mechanism of a shtar, and the shtar is not effective until he dies, right? And you can't make a kinyan after a guy's dead. He has no control anymore. But bottom line is, we see Rav follows presumption. So you can't say that the Amora who holds Allah is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who follows presumptions, is Rav Nosson, who follows presumptions, because Rav also follows presumptions. Okay, Rabbi Say, that's what we're going to do tonight. Nun Hei Amid Beis. Now we're going to go tie the shlak on so that the rain doesn't get into the sukkah. But that's Nun Hei Amid Beis. Next week, we're going to have to figure out 2 days to learn. There'll be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. We'll have to figure out how to do that. One night, we'll have to do Nun Vav. And one night we'll have to do Nivav Amid Beis, Nivav Am, Nivav Am Beis. Okay, Rabbi Say, have an amazing Yom Tov, Chag Hashav V'Sameach, Bracha V'Hatzlacha, all the best, okay? Good Yom Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.